Good morning. We are here this morning again to worship, to learn, to have a relationship with each other, build relationships, that God can show us more of Himself. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Last night we talked about the tools of in our world of media, whether they're tools or whether they're devices of destruction. And we ended up deciding that we really need to decide this on a platform of purpose. And that's where we're going to go this morning. The title of our message this morning is The Power of Purpose. I think Brother John is right about Daniel and his purpose. And we're going to talk about Daniel after a while. But first of all, as we think about purpose, what really is your purpose? When you think about your life, you think about your environment and the things that you do, what is your purpose? Why are you here? You know, there's a lot of good things that we do in our life. There's a lot of good activities that take place in our environment. And we have habits. All of us have habits. And we follow those habits through the week, and you know, from week to week, they're generally about the same. We do a lot of good things. We go to work, or we help our parents, or we, you know, we have hobbies, and we have maybe times that we do volunteer work for somebody. We help our neighbor, we help our friend, and all of those things. But in that, if we peel all those layers back and get right down to me, what is my purpose? What is your purpose? You know, we all work for a living. We have to eat. We have bills to pay. And so these things are all good in themselves. But what is the purpose of all of this stuff that surrounds our life? You know, I think it's good to stop and consider a little bit. Really, what am I here for? When we dig down through to me, why am I here? Well, there's a familiar verse that we all know in Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." We know that verse, and we use that verse a lot. But what does that mean? His purpose. To them who are called according to His purpose. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. Start reading here at verse 36. Actually, let's start back at verse 34. Jesus here is talking to a lawyer, but it's starting in verse 34. "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" So here Jesus told the lawyer here that the first and greatest thing for man, what we were created for, the first thing is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And then the second thing is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now if you think about that, we love God with all of our soul, with all of our heart, and with all of our mind. When we put this all together, really it spells relationship. God created us. He created you because He wanted to have a relationship with you. He created man for relationship. Let's go back here to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read here verse 26 and 27 about the sixth day of creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Here we see God, he said, let's make man in our image, and after our likeness. And God is a relational God. God is, he created man because he wanted to have a relationship with him. He wanted someone that he could commune with and communicate with. And so God created man. He created you. He created me. And he created us because he wanted to have relationship. In turn then, we need to dedicate our life with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our heart in this relationship to God. And when we establish that relationship, that is the core of our existence. And then that will, in turn, go to the second greatest commandment where we love our neighbor as ourselves. And you know, that concept is developed in the New Testament, in brotherhood, in the church, in our Christian friends. Our neighbor, we know, is anyone that we can affect, anyone that we can touch becomes our neighbor. And then there's varying degrees of relationship within, from the furthest extent of a neighbor, as that gets closer and closer to us in different people, that relationship takes on different dimensions. We know that. We're going to have a relationship that's different with our best friend that lives down the road than we will with a neighbor that maybe we met once or twice that lives across the ocean. But that's the relationship that we have with God. When we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, that creates the ability to have relationship this way, that way that God wants us to have. We are made in God's likeness, after His image, with the ability to have relationship, the ability to reason and to discern and make choices. So God wants to have a relationship with people. He wants a relationship with you. And He wants that relationship to do something. He wants it to be productive in your life. He wanted relationships that exist by choice. He gave man a choice whether they are going to have a relationship with Him or not. In the Garden of Eden, He established that relationship with Adam and Eve. He created Adam and Eve. He put them in the garden. He gave them this perfect world. And He said, I want to have a relationship with you. But in the center of the garden, there was a choice where they could make to decide whether they wanted to continue with this relationship or whether they wanted to sever that relationship. And we know what happened. Sin severed the relationship between Adam and Eve and God in the way that they had this perfect relationship in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus is the key to broken relationships. And God gave that plan there in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve after they sinned. He said, I have a plan, in my own words. Jesus Christ will be the Savior of the world. And because of Him, that relationship will be restored that was broken. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Life with relationship. And this relationship has to have life. There is no relationship without life. And so we need Jesus Christ to have life. And when we have life, we have relationship. And this relationship brings with it a lot of attributes of God. God expects our lives to reflect His attributes. When this relationship is formed, when we have this relationship of soul, heart, and mind with God, where we are sold out for God and our relationship with God, it motivates everything that we do. Those attributes will shine forth and create relationships with other people, and especially other Christians. You know, so our relationship with God is going to show itself in many different ways. But those ways, those attributes that go forth from our life have to come from this relationship that we have with God. The purpose of relationship is at the heart of everything we do as Christians. This establishes the divine purpose that God has for us. Our purpose of relationship with God, which is the first and greatest commandment. On this hang all the law and the prophets. Everything beyond that comes from this relationship with God. There's no way that we can live out effectively in our lives the principles of the New Testament without this relationship with God. We can try to do all the right things. We can try to follow all the commands that God has given us. But without this relationship with God, it's not going to work. You know, these two commandments, I heard an older brother one time say that these are the twin towers of the Bible, the first and second commandment. The two greatest commandments, on this hangs all the law and the prophets. How many of you young people remember when the Twin Towers were attacked in 2001? A couple. You know, it seems to me like just a couple years ago. I know exactly where I was, and probably the older ones back here could tell you exactly where they were when they heard about the attack on the Twin Towers in the World Trade Center. But you know, those towers, if I understand correctly, the construction of those towers were built with a center pod in the middle of those towers that was like a center column that was laid up in the middle of those towers. And then from that center pod, there was big beams that reached out to other posts out here on the edge. But here in the middle, this center column was the main support that supported that whole tower. That was whatever, I don't know, it was 1,000 foot tall or something. So they laid up this center column here in the middle. It was a square column. And then from there they had these beams that reached out, and they had poles out here, and then that's what you saw when you looked at the World Trade Center, at the skyline of these towers. You were seeing the outside of this tower, but the main support was in the center of those towers. And that the engineer designed that, ironically, for a plane crash. They knew that there was an airport close by, and so they knew there was a potential that a plane could crash into these towers. And so they built this so that the center column was the main support, so that if a plane would crash into the side of this tower or somewhere around the perimeter, that it would be protected because the main support was there in the middle. Now, we know that a plane crash was the demise of these towers, and what happened was that the engineer, his engineering broke down in the fact that he did not predict. Like we heard in the devotional this morning, when you do something, thinking about the future, he did not predict the amount of fuel that would be held in airplanes years down the road. And the planes that crashed into these towers were big planes, and they were completely full of fuel because they were prepared for a long flight. I think they were flying out here to the West Coast somewhere. And so he didn't take into consideration the dynamics of this explosion. And so when these planes crashed into this tower, the explosion from all this fuel affected that center column. And as that tower started to implode, the weight of this explosion just crumbled the towers all the way to the ground. What do you think about that? I believe that our Christian lives are constructed much the same way as these towers. And that is that when you look at our life and all the things that we do, all the things that make up our life and flavor it, with our personality, with our likes and dislikes, with our habits, we see a person. But at the center of that, there needs to be this center column of relationship with God, and that is affecting all of the things that we see around us in our life. All of the mechanics of our life as we go through life, these things are affected by this center pod of relationship that we have with God. Think about David. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. Why was David called the man after God's own heart? Was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. But if you look at David's life, he valued his relationship with God. He was determined, even when he made a mistake, when he sinned and he was shown that sin, he realized what this sin was going to do to his relationship. And he guarded and he protected that relationship, and he repented because he wanted to maintain that relationship with God. He was concerned that nothing severed that center column of relationship that he had with his Maker. And that's why David was a man after God's own heart. God had a relationship with David, and he understood David's heart, and he knew that that relationship was dear to him. And so he valued David not only as he loved everyone else, but he was a man after God's own heart, in his likeness, because David treasured relationships. We know that. We know how him and Jonathan, if we study his life, we're not going to do that this morning. But the way Jonathan and David related, the relationship of of trust and companionship that they had was a reflection, I believe, of their relationship with God. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 1. We're going to look here a little bit at Daniel. Chapter 1, in verse 8. Here was Daniel. He had been taken out of his homeland in captivity, and we know this verse, John already quoted it or talked about it, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. I believe Daniel understood this column of support, a relationship with God. Here was Daniel. He was taken out of his homeland. He was disrupted from his lifestyle. Everything that made up his life, his habits, just like you, he was removed from that and he was brought to this foreign land and he was plopped here and all of a sudden everything familiar was gone. But Daniel, it says he purposed in his heart. He had a relationship with God that would not allow him to defile himself with the king's meat. And I believe that this relationship, this purpose, went much further than just his diet. It affected his whole life in this land of captivity. Daniel was a man of God in a heathen land. He was taken out of everything familiar and put in this heathen land where it was not just strange people and strange culture, but it was strange in beliefs and religion. And so he had to find his way with and still maintain this relationship with God. He purposed in his heart. And I believe this purpose already existed before he got to the point where he had to say no to the king's meat. He already had this relationship. This purpose was in place. It was active in his life. And it was already moderating his whole life and experience. So when he came face to face with this decision, he said no. Because I value my relationship with God, and I'm not going to allow this to break my relationship, to sever my relationship, because I know it's not right, and I want to keep this. I want to maintain this at all costs, and so I'm not going to defile myself. His purpose was at the core of his obedience. You know, he didn't try to obey to gain a purpose. He had a purpose that caused him to obey. His relationship with God was his purpose, and it was influenced by everything he did, the choices he made in Babylon. You know, his parents, his religious leaders, his familiar surroundings, I'm sure, helped him to come to the place where he valued that purpose. But suddenly, none of this was here anymore. He was removed from everything that was familiar to him. What would have happened if he depended on his parents and he only did the things that he knew was right? He was in this habitual mode in his familiar land because somebody told him to do it. And suddenly he's removed from that and he's set over here in this foreign land. Then what would happen? He probably would fit into that culture as well. You know, what would happen to us if we were suddenly removed from everything that we know, everything that is familiar to us? Our familiar surroundings, our environment, our little greenhouse of Christian friends that surround us and keep us company, our social group, our parents. And we were set over here in a different land with different people and different religion, and things were set in front of us that we knew weren't right. What would happen? Would your purpose, would that center column of relationship be there already in place to help you make decisions that you would need to make? You know, does that mean that we don't need godly parents, church leaders, and godly environments? No. These things are a tremendous blessing to us. They help us to come to a point of appreciation where we are taught these things, and habit of teaching helps us to see that we need this purpose. But once we have that relationship with God through repentance, then everything else we do from then on needs to be moderated by that center column of relationship. And these blessings that we have around us should make that relationship grow. But the relationship that we have with God is going to be there in spite of our environment. In spite of whatever is around us, that center column of relationship with God will always be there and will help us to maintain a purpose and a vision, just like it did for Daniel. You know, when Daniel was there in that land, he continued to pray 3 times a day. He continued these habits that he knew were right. His purpose was motivated to obedience. And in turn, as he obeyed, it built and strengthened his purpose. It's a challenge for us. What motivates the obedience in my life? What motivates obedience in your life? Is it fear of your parents? Is it fear of losing some kind of privilege in your church culture? Maybe it's fear of your church leaders. You're scared that they'll see you doing something wrong. You know, if these things would have been Daniel's reason for obeying, what would have happened to him when he was removed to the land of Babylon? What would have happened to his lifestyle? What would have happened to his identity as a man of God, a man with a purpose? Joseph was another man who lived by purpose. We know Joseph's life well. Joseph was put in prison. He was unjustly accused. Lots of things happened that seemed to stack up against Joseph, and yet he maintained a relationship with God that saw him through to the end. You know, God was able to use Joseph mightily because he was true to his purpose. In Potiphar's house, his purpose protected him from immorality. His testimony was, he said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You know, when he came face to face with a temptation, his first thought was, what is this going to do to the center column of relationship that I have with God? He understood that sin separates from God, and he cherished his purpose as a person. And so that motivated obedience. He had conviction for obedience through purpose. God used him to minister as a governing leader. More and more, as you think about our culture and the culture that Joseph lived in and all the things in close proximity to him there that he faced, we are facing more and more as people of God. You know, our culture is growing more and more bold with the things that they consider popular. We talked about popular culture last night. And through media and ease of information, false concepts are right here on our doorstep. They're just waiting for a welcome to come in and affect our life. Immorality is more exposed and commonplace in our country than it's ever been. Moral integrity is a value of yesterday. It's the culture that we talked about, that we're living right in and among. Culture that is waiting to affect you. It's waiting to influence you. But as long as you maintain a relationship with God as a center column to your life, and that is moderating and causing a level of obedience because you cherish that relationship, this culture cannot get to you. You can make it through. You can make right choices if you maintain this relationship with Jesus Christ, this center column, and then you have relationships on this level with other people, you will make it through. It doesn't matter what the culture will be. You can see your way through because God has promised, as long as we maintain this relationship with Him, that we will make right choices because of purpose. You know, culture alone is no match for sin. We can kind of relax in our Mennonite culture because we have, after all, a lot of good friends. We have people we can trust. And we have this culture that's sort of rolling along through the years. It's always been here in my life. And we kind of have this subconscious thought that they'll always be here. But you know, culture alone is no match for sin. If this culture that you live in as Mennonites, if there's not this center column of relationship with God, then sin is going to win. Good habits alone will not outlast sinful society. Spiritual blessings will not continue to exist without purpose. These blessings come because of a center column of relationship that people have. And as you work together collectively, you experience those blessings. So what does this have to do with media technology? You know, it should have everything to do with the media that you use in your life. The way media affects your life has everything to do with this center column of relationship with God. Media devices are made by a secular world, like we talked about last night. But you have a different purpose. You're here for a different reason. They have a plan for you. This media and the media development and the developers, they have a plan. They want you to go a certain direction. But you have a purpose. And you need to maintain that purpose as you live in and among this society. You know, your center column relationship should alter your use of media from what the intent of the developers around us in society. They have reasons why they do what they do. But as you take part in the media world of our culture, your relationship with God should alter that purpose and use it for something different. Now, it's true that they intend for these things to get used for the mundane of life, like work and office work and all these good things. But their purpose, their intent, their drive in life is something different than what you have. And you need to remember that. Your priority on good, solid relationships in your life should create different habits of media use than what your ungodly neighbors have because of this center column of relationship with God. Purpose must precede rules. You know, we talked about making rules for ourselves last night. We talked about working together across the generation gap to help to decide what is really a tool and what's not. But before that, before rules are going to work, relationship, the purpose, our purpose, must be in place or rules aren't going to be effective in our life. We need rules for media use. We need personal rules, convictions for our own use. We need rules as a brotherhood to help us to navigate this pathway of decisions that we're going to have to make. But before that, we need to have this center column of relationship with God or the rules are going to let you down. They're not going to work unless you have this center column of relationship with God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read the first couple of verses. These, again, are very familiar verses. We read them a lot, and I want to look here at the concept of our mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How is that going to happen? By the renewing of our mind. When we, through repentance and forgiveness, establish the center column of relationship with God, and we build a relationship with other fellow Christians, our mind is renewed, it's transformed from what its original concept and pathway would be, it's transformed into something different. And we need to maintain that transformed mind. We are transformed. We have a renewed mind. Now we must choose the right kind of influence to maintain a renewed mind. You know, if we allow the conditions of our society to influence us, we won't maintain a renewed mind. It's a condition that has to be there because of God. Because of our center column of relationship with God, it can be there, but we have to do our part to maintain a renewed mind. We must choose the right kind of influence. You know, that's so crucial to our relationship and our purpose with God and with others. Did you know that your brain was created? God made your brain to be influenced by other minds. God made you that way on purpose. You were not made all-conclusive when you were born, but your brain was made in an organic form, and from there, as you live your life, God made your brain to be influenced by other minds, by other people. And so you are going to be influenced because you're created that way. We can't help it. So it's very critical what you allow to come into your life and into your lifestyle and into your habits, because it's going to influence you and you have to make choices. That's where you are going to have to decide, how is this going to affect my purpose? And then we have to make choices whether we're going to allow that to take place and influence our mind, or if we're going to turn to something else and say, no, we don't want this to make a dent in my mind. We want something else over here. This is the kind of influence, because we will be influenced. We were created that way. That's why the Bible gives so much teaching, like evil communications corrupt good manners. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. You know, we think about, go back to Genesis again. God said, we're going to make man in our image and in our likeness. He created us with the five senses. Can somebody tell me what they are? Five senses. Okay, good job. You know, God, I believe that God created, when He created us, He created us in His likeness, in His image, and these senses, our first priority with the five senses is to build relationship. Now, we know that sin separated man from God. And because of sin, there's a lot of things that take place in our life. We use these things, these tools, these relational tools, we use in a lot of different ways. But our first and foremost responsibility with those is to build relationships. They are relational tools that God has given us to build relationships. These things make up our reality. The things that are reality to us, these five senses help us to establish that reality. To communicate with other people. And it's the sum of our experience. The experiences that we have, we are the sum of those experiences. And those, our five senses help us to establish that. It's relational tools that God has given us to build relationships. You know, we have a need for relationship. We have a need for food. Everybody can identify with our need for food. We eat today, we get hungry tomorrow, and we are going to eat food. We have to make choices about what kind of diet we're going to have to meet our need for food, right? We choose every day, okay, I'm hungry, so what am I going to eat? And then we go and we pursue whatever we decide we want to eat. We eat that and we get full. But you know that the relational need of your life is much the same way. You have a container within the emotional being of you that is there to be filled with relationship. We have an ongoing need for relationship. So we can decide, much in the same way as food, we can decide how we're going to satisfy our need for relationship. And when we, in our day, in our culture, we have the ability to fill that relational need with media, if we want to. We can have a relationship with a device of some kind. We can have a relationship that is falsely filling that container for a need of relationship. And it's just like going out and choosing whether I want to eat a combo, or whether I want to eat Twinkie bars, or whether I want to eat a good solid meal. You know, when we satisfy our relational needs through media, we are, in essence, filling our relational bin with junk food. God intended for us to build and to maintain that relational need on a good solid platform of relationships with other people that we connect with through our five senses, where we can talk to them, we can see them, we communicate with them shoulder to shoulder. Relationships that really satisfy are built over a long time. They're not something instant. We can't just go and quickly get something and fill our relational need with something good and solid. The relationships that really satisfy take time to build, to maintain. You know, if your mom was going to fix your favorite meal tomorrow evening, and you knew this, and so you wake up tomorrow morning and say, oh, tonight, Mom's fixing my favorite meal. What are you going to do to prepare for that? You get up and eat breakfast, and then maybe for lunch you go to McDonald's, you buy two big combos, and then after that you have a latte because, yeah, you like lattes. And then about in the afternoon, about 5 o'clock, you stop at the convenience store and you buy three Twinkie bars and a Mountain Dew, and you slurp that down, and you guzzle the Mountain Dew and eat the Twinkie bars. And then about 6 o'clock, you get home, and your mom has your favorite meal spread out here on the table. Are you going to be ready to eat this favorite meal? No, you're full. You've already crammed yourself with all of this other food, if you want to call it that. You're probably not going to do that. You know that you're going to have your favorite meal. You're going to plan for that. And you're going to be careful during the day what you eat, because when you get home, you want to be hungry for this food that your mom's going to make. After all, it's your favorite meal. Well, you know, if we spend time in our lives filling ourselves, our relational bin, with media, with instant messaging, with things that are just a connection and not really a relationship, we are filling that relational bin. We are satisfying that hunger, and then we're not going to have room, we're not going to crave a good, solid relationship like we should. You know, those relationships of connection can falsely fill our relational needs. And then we think we don't have an appetite for something solid because we've already spent the day communicating, staying connected with whatever it might be. And it takes away our appetite for a good, solid relationship with people who are in close proximity. The people that really matter in our lives, that God wants us to spend time building relationships with, all of a sudden, we don't crave that as much because we've been over here filling ourselves with all this other stuff. Now let's go here to Romans 12 and read from verse 3 through verse 13. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. We'll stop reading there. As we read these verses, I believe it tells us, God is telling us what kind of relationships He expects us to build that are going to fill the relational need in our lives. Now, when we talk about staying connected through media or building relationships, we all know that there is a good purpose for staying connected. There is a good purpose for some of these methods of communication that we have. But finally, when it comes to building relationships, to filling that relationship need in our life, we need to build these kinds of relationships through real-time relationship, through real time spent knowing someone and building a history with someone so that we can fill our lives with a good relationship. That doesn't mean that we're not going to use media, but it's going to mean that we're going to use media for a different purpose. Here it says in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. This is the kind of relationship that God wants us to have. And we won't find it through media. You know, media has these good uses. It's a great tool for transferring information. It's a great tool for staying organized. And it's a great tool for staying coordinated. You know, we have text messaging, we have instant messaging, we have emails, and we have whatever you name it. And it's a tool that we can use to stay organized, to transfer information. And there may be an element where if we have this good, solid relationship with each other, that there's an element of maintenance that we can do through media information. But we will not build good, solid relationships, generally speaking, through media. You know, we need to allow media to serve a purpose in our life. But we need to remember at the same time that there's a limit to the effectiveness of that tool in our life. And it is not good for building relationships. And if we allow media to take time away from building real-time relationships in our life, it will erode purpose. God created the church for relationships. a people of purpose who regulate, who relate together to fill that relational need in our lives, in your life, together. God intended the brotherhood to work together to fill that relationship need in our lives. What would you have in your church if you did not have relationships? Essentially, you would have nothing. Because everything about New Testament teaching and brotherhood concepts are filled within the realm of good, solid, real-time relationships. If you don't have that in your church, you will not maintain biblical principles of brotherhood. You know, media is at war with Bible concepts of relationships. The media world is telling you, hey, stay connected through us. We'll help you stay connected with all of your friends. Media technology has its place to stay connected. But there's a limit to that. And then we need to maintain relationships like the Bible wants us to, in this real time, with real friends, in a real way. You know, you're going to have to go against the grain in your generation if you're going to build solid relationships in real time. Because our culture is geared more and more to fulfilling this need by media. Social platforms are trying their best to develop their programs to where they will get more and more people to spend more and more time on their sites to build relationships with their X amount of friends. And if you're going to do different, you're going to have to make a choice. Be kindly affectioned in brotherly love, honoring someone else. That's going to take place right here in real-time relationships. You know, Mark Zuckerberg, who developed Facebook, he's the CEO of Facebook, recently he went around to evangelical churches and interviewed pastors because he was interested in community. He wanted to know more about community. He's not a religious person. But he identified that in the evangelical churches, this aspect of community that these churches had. And he said, I want to go and I want to find out more about this because I want to make Facebook become more of a global community. I want to integrate different cultures and to have this globalization of community. And so he went around and he interviewed these churches to find out what makes community. Well, what he's missing and what he doesn't understand is that the community aspect of your church, the relationships that take place between you and your Christian friends, is not an end in itself. But it's a result of the center column of relationship with God. And because of that, because you have that, you can develop a Christian community. And he likes the aspect of that. But he's not going to be able to obtain that through some kind of social platform, some kind of globalization and integration where we integrate everybody to a level where we can all appreciate each other and we can end up with this nice, snug community like he sees in churches across our land. It's not going to happen. You know, so often in our life, we spend a lot of time staying connected and not enough time building relationships. We need to make sure that we have our priorities right in our life. There is a time to stay connected, but there's also time that we need to spend in building solid relationships. You know, we should be hungry to build relationships. We should want to build relationships with other Christian friends. We should want to spend a real time of being together and building and filling our relational needs. Relationships that strengthen the center column of relationship with God. And the decisions that are in front of you, you are going to have to decide, at what point am I going to use media in my life, to what extent am I going to allow that to stay connected, but not infringe on good, solid relationships. Because if you think that you can stay connected through media to the point where you can build these wonderful relationships, you're wrong. It's not going to happen. What's going to happen is it's going to dumb down your concept of what a real relationship really is. And you're not going to understand and appreciate a good, solid Christian relationship. You know, remember, the path that you are traveling has a different destination than what the path of media developers want you to go. and you're going to have to go against the grain. And if you allow yourself to take part in our media culture, you're going to have to decide and make boundaries of where you're going to cut this off and say, no, this is not going to take part in my relationships. And yes, I will use this over here to stay connected, to stay coordinated, to stay organized. You are going to have to decide that. That center column of relationship with God makes all the difference. It's going to make a difference how you allow your mind to be influenced. It's going to make a difference what kind of relationships are the kind of people that you're going to build relationships with. And it's going to make a difference on the method that you use to build relationships. In closing, I want to read our theme verses again in John chapter 17. We read them last night. I want to read from verse 14 through verse 22. Actually, maybe I'll ask for a volunteer to read from verse 14 through verse 17. Over here on the girls. One of you read from verse 14 through verse 17. Raise your hand if you would read it. Okay, go ahead. Okay, someone over here on the boys, can you read from verse 18 through verse 22? Raise your hand. You don't know how to read? Okay, go ahead.
Verse. God sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
Okay, thank you. We're going to close with that, but as you think about your relationships with each other, your relationship with God, and you think about the culture that we live in and staying connected, the pressure that's there to stay connected, let's make sure that we keep in mind that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And Jesus is praying for us that we can maintain a life of truth apart from evil in our society. May God bless.